Yeah, yeah. We're gonna miss. Wednesday we'll learn Siddur on Wednesday instead of Thursday.
Okay.
And tomorrow I might not be able to make it. I might have to go to a Shloshim.
What day?
Tomorrow. I'm not sure. I'll let you know tomorrow. I might not be able to be here tomorrow. We'll see. I don't know. I have no idea. I'll see what's going on. Okay, let's learn today. Vaidaber Shalom Shalemar Parshas Nosai. Okay, beginning of Parshas Nosai. Vaidaber Shalom Shalemar. There's Narashi, Malil Hashem Moshe Lememar. Hashem spoke. Malil means Dibur. Moshe Lememar. But next. Nosai Esroish B'nei Gershon Gamhei. Now the keywords are the word Gamhein, that Gershon, Gershon also should be counted. We are in the middle of describing Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi, it's very bizarre that Shevet Levi is divided between Parshas Banidbar and Parshas Nosoi, the last Aliyah of Parshas Bamidbar is Vaidaber Hashem Moshe v'Aharon Lemor Nosoi Esroish B'nei Kehos. There are three families in Shevet Levi. There is the Kehos family, and then there is the family of...
We're not getting a good...
What?
We're not getting a good transmission.
Oh, you don't hear me?
I hear you, but it's like getting interrupted.
Oh, let me see what's going on here. All right, it's not going to work. I'm going to have to switch... I'm gonna have to switch over then.
Mute yourself, man, because you're muted. You're making the noise and stuff.
Laser, you hear me clearly? Laser, do you hear me clearly?
You hear clearly, but it sounds like you're getting cut off the middle.
No, that's no good.
It was okay. The noise was because somebody was not muted.
I will try. I'm going to put you on mute. If we have a problem, I'm just going to switch. Okay. If I have a problem, I'll just switch to a different device. Okay. You're all on mute. If you don't hear me, if something goes wrong, just raise your hand. Okay. Raise your hand or unmute yourself. Unmute yourself. Mark, is it clear now? It's clear now. If it becomes not clear, just unmute yourself and let me know immediately, and I'll switch over to a different device. In any event, let's continue. Shevet Levi is divided into three parts. The end of Parashas Bamidbar. When we talk about Levi, we mentioned the family, which family of Kehos. In Parashas Nosai, we have the other two members of the family. We have Gershon and we have Merari. Okay, so there are a total of three families. Why is there a separation between these parts of the family? Good question. This is a big topic of discussion. Not for now, not our agenda from the Shir, but we are starting here with Gershon. And it says here the word Gamhein. Seemingly Gamhein is coming to connect Gershon back to Parshas Bamidbar. They also should be counted separately. So Nosoi means to count, to lift up. There are many translations. Nosoi, except the calculation of Esroish. Roish means Roish that we had last week. Either it means the heads. Or it means the total sum, the total tally of B'nai Gershon, Gamhem, Levei Savoysam, according to their family, Lemishbechoysam, Levei Savoysam, Lemishbechoysam. This is an expression which is used over and over. Their fathers based according to their families. Rashi, Nosayg, Esroish B'nai Gershon, Gamhem, Kimoish, Tzivisicha, Al B'nai Kehos. Rashi clearly is bothered why the Pasig uses the word Gamhem, they also. Because if you skip down the Pasuk Chavtes, it says, B'nei Mirari, L'mishbech Oysam, L'vesa Oysam, Tifkoid Oysam. It does not say the third part of the family, B'nei Mirari, Gam Heim. So obviously Rashi is bothered, why does it say the word Gam Heim, they also? And the answer is Rashi, Kimoshes Kama Yeshe Gil Avoida. I want you to gamheim Rashi. Okay, this must be some depth. I don't know the depth of the Rashi, but Rashi is saying that just like by Gershon, the purpose of the calculation was to determine who is eligible to serve. Likewise, I want you to make a calculation as to determine who is eligible to serve, to do avoda. What is the avoda? That we'll see in a few moments. Targum says kabil yos chushban. Nasai means accept. Yos chushban. The targum translates rosh not to mean the number of their heads. It means the calculation. We explained this already a few times. If you have $100 bills, and you count them, after you have exactly 100, you tie a rubber band around the $100 bills, and on the top dollar bill, you write down 100. That's typical way you make a calculation. That's exactly the same. That's the expression. Being that we're making a calculation, we come to we refer to the calculation of to the rosh, the top of the items. Now, when it comes to human beings, obviously you don't do that. But it's a borrowed expression. Es roish kabil yos chushban b'nei gershoin af inun. Okay, the unkelis translates gamheim, also they, leves ava hosoin lezar a yosoin, according to their fathers, according to their families. Okay, pretty straightforward. Next, pasuk chav gimel. What's the age? The age for this family is 30 years. Miben, that's why it says Gamheim. Because last week's parsha by Midbar, most of the calculations was not for Avoda. The calculation was to know the number of who is eligible to serve in the army. Here the number is, as Rashi says, Gamheim, Avoda, who is eligible to work in the Beis HaMikdash, not to serve in the army. So Miben Shloshim Shon V'Mala, the people in this family will be 30 years old and above, Ad Ben Chamishim Shon until 50 years old. Tifkoid, some count them. By the way, when it says 30 years old, what does that mean exactly? Does that mean the way we call 30 years old? Or does it mean 29? The Pashtus is 29. When you're 29 years and one day, you're called 30 years. You are in your 30th year. I always like to tease these little kids. How old is your baby? How old are you? I'm 3 years old. I'm 3.5 years old. And how old is the baby? And they look at me like I'm crazy. I say the baby is 0 years old. Do you know what that means? The baby is 0 years old? Until the baby reaches 1 year, he's 0 years old. But that's not true. When a baby is 1 day old, the baby is in the first day of their life. So when the Torah says the number 30, we have to translate that in our language, 29. Today, in American, when you ask him how old are you, and he says, I'm 29 years old, that means he's in his 30th year of life. 30 would mean, I mean, because he's in his 30th year of life. So when it says over here that Miben Shleishim Shono V'mala, what does that mean? Does that mean he already finished 30 years and now he's in his 31st year? Or does this mean that he's 29 and he's in his 30th year of life? The simple understanding is it means that he's what we would call 29 years old. Ad Ben Chamishim Shono, until he's 49 years old, which means he's now in his 50th year of life. Tifkoid I saw him, count them. Kolaba, Litzvoit Sava, Lavoid, anyone, now here it says that comes into the army, Lavoid Avada Ba'oyal Moid. See, this is the Makar, Rabbi. This is the Makar that a chaplain is a member of the military. I never understood that. Ad Hayoim Hazeh, why a chaplain is given so much power. You know, a chaplain in the army has enormous power. He's like a sergeant. I mean, I don't know the exact the hierarchy, but the soldiers have to give the chaplain the same respect that they give a high, I don't know, again, all the details, a high-ranking officer. Why is that so? The chaplain didn't train to the same degree as these soldiers. The soldiers, they go through heavy-duty service. they basic training. I mean, I don't know if the chaplain goes through basic training. I really don't have no idea. But it does not. One thing is for sure, the chaplain does not train with the same degree of intensity as a soldier. And even though the chaplain may be on the front lines, he may go with his people into the battlefield, but he's not the same. And yet, the soldiers give him honor. They respect him as if he's a high-ranking officer. This is a pasuk in Chumash, right here in front of our eyes. Kol haba litzvoi tzava. Anyone that enters into the army, into the Marines. But here, what is he doing? He's not on the battlefield. La'avod avoda be'ohel moed. Public service. See, if you were writing this pasuk, if I was writing this pasuk, I would leave out the words kol haba litzvoi tzava, because I never had respect that a chaplain, I never really believed that a chaplain should get the same honor that they give a soldier. Because he's not, you know, he's not a soldier. But yet it says here... What?
The soldiering, his praying, he's in charge of the praying.
Okay, so that you know what that means? That means that he has quite a responsibility and he has to live up to it. I always was under the impression that the chaplain's a coward. He's not a soldier. I told you there was a fellow who'd come, who was a chaplain, I knew from Tarvadas. Every Yom Tif, every so often, he would come and he would stay by a family across the street from where I lived. And he would come to shul, and I would schmooze with him, and he would tell me what goes on in the army. And he was, he was all over the world. This guy saw it all. He was very burnt out. The chaplain, he was very unhappy. He didn't really like it. But he had a lot to say. And he told me a lot of really fascinating things about the military, the United States military, all the different divisions and what goes on and the whole hierarchy. He told me a lot. Oh, I forgot a lot. Oh. But I never really looked at him like, tell me, they really respect you? You're not a soldier. You sat in Koilel. I remember you sat in Koilel. These guys, they go to basic training. You know what these guys do? This is not easy work. This is not fun. And they respect you? And he explained to me all these different things about the army. The pasuk here says that's right. A chaplain is a soldier. He's a soldier. And where is he serving? His post is the Beis HaMikdash. It says, Kol haba litzvoi tzava, la'avod avoda b'yom moed. Okay, Rashi, we have to go quick. Rashi, there is no Rashi, a pasuk of Gimel. Rashi, Targum? Yeah?
The pasukim from us, to the pasukim over here, have striking differences. Here, over there it says, over here it says,
you're right, exactly. It's exactly the point. Everyone has a very different role. Okay, let's just try to go through Pesukim. Let's see what it says. You're right, exactly. It's exactly the point. It's not so simple. Targum says, from 30 years up, ad bar chamshin, until 50 years old, timnei yosan, count them, kol da'asi l'chayala, chayla, any member who enters into the army, l'miflach, to work, pulchana, to do work, avoda, b'mashkan, zimna, in the mishkan that was temporary. He always translates the ol moed to mean an ol, a tent, that's, moed means just for the time. The Mishkan, this goes back to the last week, the Mishkan was not a permanent structure, it was only temporary until they came into Eretz Yisrael and built the Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk of Dalet. Zois avidas mishbechos hager sheni la'avod l'masa. Here's what they do. This is their work. This is the service of the family of Gershuni, of Gershain. La'avod, two things. La'avod, to serve ulamasa and to carry burdens. Rashi, chav, no Rashi. Targum, Dain this pulchan zar ayos gershon, the seed of gershon, lemiflach, is to work, ulemital, is to transport. See, the word the Targum says, ulemasa, does not mean to carry, I said carry, it means to transport. Like metaltalin, movable objects, to move from one location to the next. Pasuk of hey, v'nasu'u, they shall carry, Es Yuyos HaMishkan V'es Oel Moed Michseyu its cover U'michsei HaTachash Asher Olav Milamola, and the cover of the Tachash which is above, we'll see in one moment Rashi, V'es Mosach the curtain Pesach Ohel Moed. This pact, let's see Pasuk Chavi in Rashi. Rashi says Es Yuyos HaMishkan Eser HaTachtoinais. We know that the Mishkan will get three layers. The bottom layer was made from cloth. The second layer was made from goat skins. And the third layer on the top was made from the ore of this mystical creature called the Tachash, which only existed at the time of the Mishkan. It was a multicolored animal. So it says here all three. It says, Yirios HaMishkan Eser HaTachtonis. That's the bottom one. V'yes Ohel Moed. Yirios Izim Hoasuyos Ohel Olad. Now this is very important. This is not really unique to this parasha. But whenever it says in the Torah, in Chazal, the Ohel Moed, literally it's referring to not the Kroshim, not the Oroin, not the Shulchan, not the Mizbeach. It is referring to the middle covering that went upon the Mishkan, the covering that was made from goat skins. That's the translation of the Ohel Moed. The Es Ohel, the tent of the Moed, Yirios Izim, the sections made from goat skins, Hoasuyos LoOhel Olav, that were made to cover on top of the lower sections. The lower sections were made from material, and there were 10 sections. The middle section was made from goat skins, and there were 11 sections. Michsehu, the next word, Oirois Elim Me'odomim. On top of that, they put another layer of hide, of leather, that was from red. Red ram, the skin of Elim, rams that had a red-colored skin. And then it says, U'michsei HaTachash Asher Olav Milamala. That would be layer number four. If you take the words of the Rashi, a pasuk, literally, there were four layers. The bottom layer is the cloth, the second of the goat skins, the third layer are the Elim Me'odamim, and the fourth layer are the Tachash. And then it says, V'yes Mosach. What's the Mosach? Is the curtain. The curtain, Pesach Ohel Moed, Rashi, V'loin HaMizrachi. Now here is something very interesting. What happened to everything else? The eastern curtain. Okay, so this is the curtain that is the curtain to enter into the Mishkan. Now wait a minute. What about the curtain that was Mavdil between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodoshim? That's not mentioned.
Do we have that there?
No, it's not. It's not. That's not part of this pasuk. This pasuk lists for us five items that this family will carry. The lower layer of cloth, the second of goat skins, the third of Elim Me'odamim, the fourth layer then the Ortachash, and the fifth item listed is the curtain on the east side, which means when you come into the Azara, the Mishkan has two parts. There is the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodoshim. To come into the Kodesh, there was a curtain on the east side of the Mishkan. That curtain is what they're going to carry in this pasuk. That's Rashi. Look at the Targum. The Targum says, V'tulun, they will carry. Yos Yurios Mashkina. The Yurias Mashkina. What's that? Doesn't really explain. It would appear to be the lower level. The Yos Mashkan Zimna. He's not really giving you a translation. He's just saying the Mashkan of the time. Chupa a chupa. Okay, a chupa is like a canopy. The chupa a, the sos goina. Sos goina is the translation of the tachash. The reason why it's called sos goina, this is a famous word, is the samach. We interchange the samach with a sin. And when you have a double sin, what does it mean? It means sos. Sos Anoichi al imra secha kimaitzei shalol rav. Sus means joy. On your tefillin, how many sins are there on your tefillin? Two. One on the left, one on the right. What do two sins together? It's a word. Sus. Joy. Joy. When you wear on your tefillin, you wear on your head tefillin, what is the message? Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. Joy. Joy, what do you mean? But it says in the pasuk, the purpose of tefillin is v'rohu kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra olecha v'yaru mimecha. Make up your mind. Are tefillin an object that instills fear, or is the message of tefillin joy?
But everything like that, it's an avos and hero.
Exactly. So tefillin, you see clear as day that tefillin represent the synthesis of joy and fear. Tefillin, pasuk is clear as day. They will see the tefillin on your head and they will be afraid of you. V'yaru mimecha.
Yesterday said, instead of fear, maybe we should use the word awe.
Okay, so awe. Fine, but awe is not joy. When you're in a matzav of awe, you're not in a matzav of joy. And yet it says susa, and it says
fear.
Sus.
You like that better than fear.
Okay, fine. Right, it's a better word, definitely. Awe is a much more powerful word. But it's part of the emotion of fear. It's part of that emotion. It's just a magnified, it's a mature, sophisticated type of fear. It's not the ordinary fear, it's a fear of depth. But yet on the tefillin, shel rosh, there are two sins which represent joy. Sus anoichi alim rasecha. So what is it? The answer is, the happiest person in this world is the person who has the most yirah shamayim. The more you are afraid of Hashem, it's magic, the more joy it brings you. Because your neshama has a sense that your purpose in this world is to fear Hashem. Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoyal Me'imach Kiyim Liyira Oisai. The purpose of this of your life is to fear. What does Hashem want from you? He wants you to fear Hashem. If you succeed in fearing Hashem, you have achieved the mission. You have achieved your purpose. And there's no greater joy in this world than achieving your mission. So the tefillin, on the one hand, it instills fear. When they look at you, they will be afraid. The reason why they will be afraid is because your yirah shamayim is contagious. When a person is a true yirah shamayim, you look at that person, they're afraid. And when you have that power, you have within you a life of joy, a life of sus. This creature called the Tachash, it was the tefillin shel roish of the Mishkan. It was the tefillin. The Mishkan is a living organism. The Mishkan wore tefillin. Chazal say Hashem wears tefillin. We wear tefillin. And the Mishkan wore tefillin. What are you talking about? The Mishkan, the Or Tachash, is the tefillin of the Mishkan. Because the Or Tachash, what is a Tachash? Targum, we're learning Ungulus. Sos Goina. Sos Goina is a composite of two words. Sos, Samach Samach, not Sin Sin. Samach Samach, rejoice. Goina means colors. This creature, it looked at itself, it saw it as a multicolored skin, and it gave it the colors, the diversity of colors, gave this creature enormous joy. It was a very happy creature. And its happiness was rooted in its beautiful hide. So the letter Samach and the letter Sin for our purposes are the same. It makes the same sounds. Chazal say this. And that's why it's called Sus. It took joy in its colors. And this was the uppermost covering of the Mishkan. the Ribbono Shel Olam, he rested in the Mishkan. When Hashem is present, that evokes fear, pachad, or Hashem is here, Hashem is in front of us. And on top of Hashem's presence is the multicolored hide of the Tachash, which...
Why are our
tefillin black? Exactly, because black is the color which includes all the colors. White includes none of the colors.
Oh.
It's the ultimate sas goyna. Our tefillin even better than the Or Tachash. The Or Tachash, there's a red, there's a blue, there's a green, a yellow. But what about all the shades of purple? Don't you read the back of your smartphone? They break. Your smartphone can they take a picture and has 2.6 billion colors. What? I can't even count to 10. And you're telling me it has 2.6 billion colors, shades? Who cares? The eye can't even pick up these things. What are you writing nonsense on the back of the box of the latest smartphone of how many pixels? It's ridiculous. We're at a point now where a human cannot tell the difference if it has 1 million colors or 2 million colors. Who are you coming to fool over here? Come on. You can tell the difference. No one can tell the difference. The Tachash had multiple colors. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Tefillin are black. Black has every color. It absorbs all light. Okay, we have to...
Black is beautiful.
You have to decipher the colors in the black, but that's all the colors. And what does it say on it? Sin. Two shins or two sins, which spell sus. It's a double sin on black. On gavonim harbe, many colors. Sos goina. The tefillin is the Or Tachash on our heads. It's borrowed from the Mishkan, or the Mishkan is borrowing it from us. Rat Targum. The chupah de sos goina. The alohi bilael vios parsa de tra mashkan zimad. And the parsa, the curtain of the gate. The curtain of the gate of the Mishkan. Okay, we have over here the Pesach Oil Moed. Okay, there's a lot more here. Okay, we have to go for this. There's a lot of things over here to discuss.
Larry, please share it.
Okay, I'm gonna.
Don't you want chicken nuggets?
Okay, let's go weiter. I cut him off. Okay, let's go weiter. Next, I have to make you people here the administrator. I'm gonna make people hear this, so you can do it yourself. You can have power to mute people. Vayit in the Gemara, vayit in the Pesukim, Pasuk Chavav. Okay, so the Targum, the Targum over here is very vague. The Targum over here is not really giving. Obviously, there's a lot more going on in the Targum, but it's not. Rashi over here is very precise. Rashi did us a very great favor, and Rashi listed. He enumerated 5 different things that Gerish is gonna carry. Now you can Pasuk Chavav. Now Rashi is the pot's going through the curtains. The curtains are the outside. The Mishkan was in the center, and there was a massive curtain that went around the entire courtyard. The curtains of the courtyard. Now the opening, the entrance into the courtyard, there was a special curtain that led into the entrance. Asher al ha-mishkan, asher al ha-mishkan v'al ha-mizbeach saviv. And this is a very important passage. You don't learn the chumash, you don't appreciate this. It says here something fascinating, that the purpose of the curtain that surrounded the entire courtyard was in order to give shelter to the mizbeach. Okay, what's inside the curtain? Inside the curtain are primarily 2 things. The Mishkan, which includes the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim. And before the Mishkan was the Mizbeach. So the curtain around both of these things, it's called Pesach Es Masach, the curtain, Pesach Shar Chatzer, Asher La Mishkan. This curtain was to shelter the Mishkan, that's what we just said before. the Allah Mizbeach Saviv, all the way around, the Eis Meisrehem, and their cords. Now, what does it mean, their cords? You have to look at the art school picture book to show what this means, that these curtains were tied to the ground to make sure that they would not disappear, the wind would not blow them away. These curtains that surrounded the entire Mishkan had cords that kept them fastened to the earth. The ace, the eskol klei avodah sam, doesn't say what they are. The ace kol asher ye'oseh lohem, now that's a hard word. The ace kol asher ye'oseh lohem, what is the subject? Is the subject going on the people, or is the subject going on the items? This is a very complicated expression. The machlekes is what this means. The ace and kol asher ye'oseh, that was done lohem, to them, the avadu, and they shall serve. This is a very hard pasuk to translate. Okay, you said it, you learned it today. Today, Mark, you got an aliyah today? You got shlishi today? You go to shul today? You got an aliyah at the kaisel? Okay, so what does Rashi say? Rashi says, pasuk avav, asher lemishkan kuloymar. Whenever Rashi says, this is just a general rule. We ever do this in the Gemara. We always do this. We learn the Gemara. The word kloimar is an extremely dangerous word. Whenever Rashi uses the word kloimar, he's telling you stop. I remember this from 8th grade. See, they actually told me something in 8th grade. The Rebbe said the word kloimar means it's a stop sign. When you go for a driving test and you come to a stop sign, if you do not come to a complete stop, you fail. Period. There's no such thing. When you drive, I don't know how many people over here, when you drive, if you come to a complete stop, do you come to a complete stop, Mark? When you come to a stop sign in New York City, do you come to a complete stop? Or do you gently roll through? You're always going at least 1 or 2 miles an hour to that stop sign. Okay, so if you're supposed to stop, you don't come to a complete stop on a road test, you failed instantly. Out of New York City, if you don't live in New York City, people really stop, for real. They come to a stop sign, they come to a complete stop. In New York City, people are in violation every day of this halacha, they don't come to a complete stop. And when Rashi says kolaymar, it means you come now to a complete stop. Take a deep breath. I'm going to tell you something now, Rashi is saying, that is not in the pasuk. I'm going to tell you a translation. I'm going to give you insight into the pasuk, and you got to trust me on this, because it doesn't say it. I'm going to tell you now, it does not say in the pasuk. I'm going to twist the words to fit what I want to say into the pasuk, and it's not me. Don't blame me, Rashi says. This is tradition. This is what my Rebbe taught me, or this is what it says in the Gemara, or this is what it says in the Medrash. That is what it means, kolaymar. Kolaymar means kolaymar. Hakiloyim vahamesech shel chotzer, the curtains and the mesech means the entranceway. Okay, it's a special curtain. A kiloy means a curtain that's not meant to be opened. It's like a permanent wall, a piece of cloth that serves as a permanent wall. The mesech means a piece of cloth that serves as a door. Shel chotzer hasaychachim, which provides shelter. Umaginim al hamishkan, and protect the mishkan. V'al mizbeach hanechoshe saviv. Rashi here says a lot of words, which I don't know the depth of what it means. But Rashi is coming over here to use words, and now it's very important. When Rashi words soichim, soichim does we typically in our translation we use the word soichim to mean from above. Isn't that what we use schach? The typical translation of the word soichim means to hover, a shelter. From above, yeah, it's the smear, it's sicha, right. But when it says soichachim, like it says by the kruvim, soichachim bichanfehim al ha'orayim. The kruvim, the wings are hovering. We ordinarily use this word to refer to a shelter, a horizontal shelter from above. But from the context of Rashi, what we know from the picture books, no, there's no such thing. There was no such shelter above.
It was open on top.
So, and Rashi goes on to say, V'al ha'mizbeach ha'nechoshe soviv. around, not on top. Rashi does not come in to disagree with that interpretation. Rashi says that this curtain went around, not on top. Yet Rashi selected in his very precise choice of words the word soichachem. This Rashi is very important. Rashi. You see, even Rashi, the Rashi understood the word soichachem does not mean from above. Soichachem can mean even from the sides. And that can come be a very important thing to keep in mind when it comes to when you find the word being used in Chazal. We always are brainwashed right away, it means from above. Not necessarily. It says over here, Kalaimar ha-kalayim b'ha-mesach, the curtains, v'ha-mesach. The mesach means a curtain that's a door curtain, that you, a shower curtain, you know, you're supposed to slide open and close. Shel chotzer, ha-seichachin, that provides shelter, vertically, not horizontally. Umaginim, they provide protection. Another word, al ha-mishkan. And now he says, upon the Mishkan, what does that mean? We're not discussing the Alam Mishkan, means near the Mishkan, against the Mishkan. The Alam Mizbech and the Cheshes Saviv. Okay, Rashi is more vague than clear, we'll leave it with that. The Eis Kolashe Yoselohem, Kitar Gumoy. Rashi over here is obviously very bothered. What do these words mean? So Rashi says, I'm not going to go to the Targum, we'll see the moment. The Yos Kol, the Yismisar Lohoin, Livdei Gershain. Now, Ye'oselohem means he translates the word in a very unusual way. This drives the experts on diktuk, it drives them nuts, what Rashi says. He says, Ye'oseh, and Rashi says, what was given to them. That's not what it means. It was Ye'oseh, called the Yis Misar. Anything that was handed over to them, Libnei Gerisha. Let's see the Targum. Targum of this Pasuk says, Pasuk Avav, V'yos Sirade Darta. So we have some very important words here. The word Sirade means a curtain. Darta means a courtyard, like a dira, a courtyard. V'yos Parsa, a curtain. De Ma'alana Disra. The word demalana means the entranceway to the gate. Darta of the courtyard. Okay, so he's so far just translation. The al mashkuna on the mishkan, the al madbicha and upon the mizbeach, sechar all the way around. The yos. Now here's it gets a little atunehoin. The word atuneh means the cords that would fasten the curtains into the ground, the yoskol money pulcha noin, and all of the utensils of their service, the yos, and here are the keywords. This is the targum. This is where the targum. Why you have a targum? This is why you have a targum. The yoskol the yis misar lohoin, everything that was given to them. In other words, the list that we have given here is a partial list. What did we list? We listed in the first pasuk 5 items of the Mishkan. The lower level curtain, the middle level, the upper level, and then the artachash. That's 4 levels. And then we listed the curtain that separates between the that enters into the Heichal. Now wait a minute. What about the curtain that separates between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim? You know what the answer is? Gershon did not carry that curtain. Who carried that curtain? Kohos carried that curtain. Kohos, who carried the Aroin, it says Beferish in the Pasuk, they took the curtain that was mafred between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim, they removed it, and they covered the Aroin. So the reason why the Pasuk here leaves out the obvious curtain, we listed here 5 different items, and we conspicuously left out number 6. The reason why the curtain that separates between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim was omitted is because the Pasuk elsewhere says that when they traveled, that curtain was used to wrap up the Aroin.
Here's the pasuk. There's pasuk hey in Perek Dalet. Uvo Aaron Levanov bin Nisoa Hamachaneh. Vehoridu Eis Paroches Hamasoch.
I write not Kodesh. Exactly. So Gershon did not take that covering. Okay, fine. Now let's go to the curtains on the outside. On the outside, there were curtains that surrounded the entire courtyard, which surrounded the Mishkan and surrounded the Mizbeach. A lot of curtains. It was 100 amos by 50 amos. And then on the east side was an elaborate entranceway called the Mosach. And these curtains that were erected had cords that held them down into the ground. All of these things they carried. And what else? The Eis Kol Asher Yi'aseh Lohem. There were more things that were delivered into. What were the more things? So the answer is hooks, pegs. There were pegs in the ground that the cords were attached to. Furthermore, the Mishkan, it makes no mention, there were also cords and pegs that kept the five coverings of the Mishkan anchored to the ground so the wind should not blow it away. Now, this is the Saudi Arabian, this is the desert, you know, they're traveling over the middle of the world, they're big winds. So how come the Pasuk does not mention these items? That's what the Pasuk here says. It says, V'eis kol, everything we did not mention is included in these words. And when it says the word Ye'aseh, Ye'aseh means, it's a very, I don't have a parish for you. All I have over here is that in this sefer that I'm using, he has a very long discussion about this. I'll read you a little bit what it says over here. Targum hamilo ye'aseh b'loshon mesira. Okay, I'm reading, you don't have this. The Targum here translates the word ye'aseh in a very unusual way. And Rashi is so stumped by what the Targum says. Rashi, okay, you know what? I go with it. Because Rashi also seems to be lost how to translate the word ye'aseh. Okay. And then he says the word lohem. Now, what's the word lohem go? What is the subject of the word lohem? It means the people, Gershon. Whatever, everything else that was given over to them, to the people. Which people? The family of Gershon to carry. Okay, then he goes on to say, the loy kiperish haramban. Okay, this sefer is very good because when he shows you the contrast of other commentators, then you get a better appreciation of what Rashi and Unkelis are saying. The Ramban says that the word lohem refers to the Mishkan, not to Levi. And what it means according to him is, the Ramban is very disturbed. The word ye'aseh doesn't mean to deliver. And he understands it means that the Mishkan was a tool which we used. It was a tool of use. It wasn't a museum. The Mishkan is not a museum. Oh, it looks so pretty. And have a nice day. The Mishkan is an object of asiyah. So it says here that not only did they carry these things, v'eis kol asher, they also carried everything asher ye'aseh lohem. They carried everything that was used in the Mishkan, relating to these coverings. So ye'aseh means a tool of usage. What tool are we referring to? Lohem. Them. What's them? The Mishkan. The Mishkan is described here b'lashoin rabim, in the plural. Now you'll ask, how could you do that? How can you describe the Mishkan in the plural? Very easy. How do we refer to Hashem? Elokim. Is Elokim plural or is it yachid? Plural. It should be Eloka. Like today, we learned today, my God, or Elokai, that's Elokai, Elokah, Elokah, okay, to pronounce it the correct way, with the Shem Hashem, the Patachon of the Hay, we discussed that today, Elokah, what's Elokim? How did Elokah, we turn into Elokim, we added a Yud Mem is always used for Lashon Rabbim. Hashem is not a Rabbim, Hashem is only one God, it's not a presidium. It's not a committee. Hashem is not a committee in Shemayim. There's one God. What's Elokim? So what's the answer? The answer is respect. When you respect an individual who represents authority. This is lost from us today. We have absolutely no, we don't talk like this, so we have no appreciation of what this means. But in ancient times, when you talk to an authority, you speak to the authority b'lashon rabbim. What do they want to do? I don't have the exact language, but you refer to an authority b'lashon rabbim as an expression of reverence. We view you to be so great, it's like you're 100, you are equal to 100 people, to 1,000 people. In Hebrew, in Yiddish, it seems that not so long ago, this was also commonly done to refer to an individual of authority, b'lashon rabbim. The Mishkan is a living organism. It's not just an object. When the Pasuk describes the Mishkan, it describes it b'lashon rabbim. Really, according to the Ramban, you asked the question, you say, if the Ramban wants to say that the word ye'oseh means the Mishkan is a structure that was actually used, people went in there. It wasn't shut down. It wasn't shut down. People actually went inside and they used the facilities to serve Hashem. So not only did Kohath carry all of the things that we listed, he also carried other things that were used in the service of Hashem that were actually used in this Mishkan. So the Pasuk should then say, Eis kol asher ye'oseh lo, not lohem, or ye'oseh loy, if you want to say b'loshen ra, b'loshen zohar, asher ye'oseh loy. Why does it say asher ye'oseh lohem b'loshen rabim? Because we have respect for the Mishkan. And when you have respect for something, you refer to it b'loshen rabim, even though it is a yachid. That's how you have to answer the Ramban. That's how the Ramban learns. But that's not what Rashi and the Targum says. Rashi and the Targum, they don't want to go with that approach, and they want to say the word ye'oseh. He does explain from a parish called the Re'em. Ye'oseh koleles kol mine pu'ulois. The gam ha'mesira asiyahi. Delivery is called a ma'asei asiya. This is very sophisticated grammar, which is way over my head. He quotes here a re'em. Gotta go talk to the real experts to explain to you what this means. But this is an idea that the word ye'oseh is going to mean, it means to deliver. That's what Rashi and Unkelus, all of the other items that were delivered into the hand of Bnei Gershon to carry in the desert. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Rabbi Yisrael, have a wonderful night. Thank you for joining me. We'll see you tomorrow at 8, 9:30. Take care. Have a good night. Good night. Good night. Be well.
Shikaria, thank you very much. Regards to Mark. Take care, Mark. Bye-bye.
Mark, you still there?
Bye, good night.
Sophie sends you regards.
Who's Sophie?
That is it. I told it to Mark. She used to work at the senior center.
Okay, boys, I got the son of. I'll see you tomorrow. I have the son of. Okay, take care. Okay, bye.
Good night.
Yeah.